Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
If you would you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs? We're going to be flipping around, but if you just get to the book of Proverbs, you can find out where we're at. This will be the last time that we're in it. All of us, I want to talk about this. All of us have two paths that are available to us. Two paths. I'm not talking about the broad and narrow road. Those are two paths too. But these are paths that we sometimes walk at different times in our lives. What I'm referring to is the path of isolation and the path of community. Two paths. One, isolation. Two, community. One path is a lot easier to walk. It's a lot more attractive, and you're going to want to walk that path. The other is much more difficult, and you're going to want to get off of that path. Do you know which is which out of those two? Which is the easy one? Yeah, that's the path of isolation, right? Much easier. You can go faster. You can go where you want to go. You can do what you want to do. Here's the thing, though. It's a more dangerous path. It often leads to destruction. Path of community, though, has the potential to lead towards life. And that's what we're going to see in Proverbs. But it's hard. It's challenging. Put people together and what happens? Right? We step on each other's toes. There's conflict that often results. We're different. And so we come up with different ideas and different thoughts on how to do things. And it often leads to difficult conversations. These conversations, though, can sharpen us. We can be sanctified and matured through them. Wisdom and life comes through these conversations. And that's what Proverbs teaches us about this path of community. Think about a big purchase. Say you're getting ready to purchase an automobile. How would it help to take that decision through community? Well, you might know somebody that's good with finances. And so you can talk to them about what's the amount of a vehicle that would be in my budget in order to purchase, right? You can talk to somebody who works on cars. So they might tell you, yeah, we see that car often, or we don't see these cars very often, and they can give you guidance on which cars to purchase. Or you might know somebody who's in the dealer world, and they can give you ideas on how to negotiate a price. Community can help you make wise decisions, but what if you really wanted to purchase that vehicle, that one car? Maybe you wouldn't want to take that conversation through community because you know what they'd say. That's a little bit outside of your budget, right? That's not the best vehicle. It breaks down a lot. Yeah. Sometimes we purposely take the path of isolation because we don't want to hear the truth. And this is in our Christian walk, especially. It's a lot easier to watch church on TV or even to go to church on Sundays and then just leave, right? It's easy to walk in isolation. Let's be honest, though. Ministry is messy. Ministering with people is painful, and you can just avoid all of that if you just don't participate. It's easier, but today I want to encourage you to not take that path. Why? Because honestly, we're not good in isolation. I can testify to that from my own life. There was a time where I just came on Sundays but was not involved in any community part of that. I didn't give my church family an opportunity to speak into my life. Looking back, it was nice. If I'm honest, it was easy. Right? I probably shouldn't admit that, but that's the truth. The downside of that is I never grew. I was not maturing. I never saw fruit. And that path was just filled with a lot of trouble, a lot of falling down on that path continually. No eternal purpose on that path. You see, we were fashioned, we were created, we were built for those eternal purposes. You know that, right? to bring glory to God and to build his kingdom. Nothing can fill that need. Nothing can fill that desire in your life that you have for that. No purpose on this earth can come close to that. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. When we're by ourselves, we can see these paths that seem right, but I want us to just be honest with ourselves. Where do they lead? Spiritual stagnation? Death, destruction, right? The verse is repeated in Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right, it smells right, it tastes right, it looks good, but in the end it leads to death. The Apostle Paul describes us as a part of the body of Christ. Each person is a member of that body. We were made to be in community working together. The Bible tells us that we were given spiritual gifts. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we were each given at least one spiritual gift. But what is the purpose of that gift? It's to build up the body. We can't use spiritual gifts in isolation. So you're missing out on that if you're not a part of community. The writer of Hebrews said this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some men are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the path of community there? The enemy's goal is to get you to isolate yourself. You can come to church. You can be here, but still be isolated. Animals are hunted, right? Predators come and they attack the flock. They attack the herd and they try to separate one from that herd. And as soon as that happens, it's over. Again, it's easier in isolation. So it's tempting not to be in community. But this morning I'm praying that we just see the tremendous benefit that can come from that path and strive for it. What am I talking about? Being in community. Well, I want to give you three examples of it. And I think that will help answer that question. First one comes from Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We all want to conceal, right? We all want to conceal our sins. When Adam and Eve sinned and they heard God, what did they immediately do? They hid from him. The easy path. That's the path that we want to take because in isolation, nobody knows what we're doing. Nobody knows what we're dealing with. Sometimes certain sins get a hold on our lives. They get strongholds on us. We especially want to hide those sins. We would die if anybody found out about that sin. So we walk a path of isolation and we try harder not to sin. That's what we do. That's how we approach it. But what happens? We fall. And then we get up and we try even harder. We're gonna make it work this time, but so often we end up falling again. What if, though, we let some people in on what we are dealing with? Proverbs says that if we confess our sins to each other, we find something, right? Mercy. I found that in a small group. There was a time in my life where I did not have many friends. I had just gone through something that happened. And so I started looking around the church and saw some people my age and just invited them to hang out. It was Mike Taylor, Daniel Ingram, Clarence Gayhart, and Jessica Mosley. You talk about a motley crew of weirdness, right? That was it. You know what we did? We just went out to the movies and we ate together. We invited each other over to our houses, right? weirdest time in my life, but one of the best. We just had fun. And then we're like, you know what? Let's do a devotional. Let's just start a Sunday school class. And then we just started inviting more and more people out to it. Anytime somebody would come to church, or if there was a young person in our lives, we invited those people to come out with us. The awesome thing about that group was we could just be real with each other. We didn't have to put on a fake face, and pretend that we had everything going on. We were real, and we shared our struggles with each other. And what happens when one person shared something that they were struggling with, another person said, you know what, I'm struggling with that too. Or I'm struggling with something like that. And all of a sudden, we started learning that we were not these outcasts. We were not these exceptions where we thought everybody else had it together. No, it was common what we were dealing with. And then we started praying for each other. And we started to see freedom and challenges come from that. And we grew, right? And our core group grew. We had, 20, 30 people coming. We were playing volleyball together, doing things together. We not only found mercy, but we found freedom. And then we learned it's actually biblical. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Try beating habitual sin on the path of isolation. You won't. It's rare. I tried, never experienced that. I did find it, though, in that community, in that group of young people. According to James, this should be common. This should be a common practice for us to confess our sins to each other. Do we do it, though? Not necessarily to a pastor, but to each other. And if that takes place, and we have people praying for us, those people praying for us, then the Word of God says we should experience healing, physical or spiritual, maybe both. Let me ask you something. Do you need healed from something? Are you struggling with something? If the answer is yes, then ask yourselves, am I doing these two things? Do I have a group of people in my life that I can confess that to? And are they praying for me? It's huge. I know it's the last thing that anybody wants to do. Right? Nobody wants to share those things. But I guess my question is what you're doing working? Are you growing? Are you finding freedom from that thing that you struggle with? Or maybe today you think about taking a different path, the path of community, and believe what the Word of God says, and believe there is an answer to what you're struggling with in that. Romans 12:1, they, that's the church, triumphed over him, that's Satan, that's the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by what Christ did, and by the power of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You can't share your testimony in isolation. Right? I mean, that's obvious. It must be done in community. We can't keep our stories hidden. We can't keep them to ourselves. Some of you have a deep, dark secret that, like I said, you'd die if it got out. And so you're going to face that alone. And you're going to struggle with that continually until you get to the place where you lay down your pride and share it with people. That's what it's talking about there at the end. They didn't love their mice as much to shrink from death. That's part of it. Die to our pride. So, first thing that you find in community is a pathway to healing and a pathway to restoration. Second is this course correction that you can find. It can help you get back on track. Proverbs 12:1 says this, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. I'm not supposed to use that word, but it's in the Bible. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. There is no discipline, there is no correction in isolation. And that's why it's so tempting to want to live there, to want to stay there, right? Nobody wants to be corrected. We all want to do what we want to do. We want to be able to color outside the lines. We want to be able to stay in this path of isolation so that we can hide what we're doing. What we all want is freedom. But what we think is freedom is really an illusion. Real freedom comes from making yourself subject to God. Doesn't sound like freedom. It seems a little weird, like it doesn't make sense, but that's where real freedom comes from. We all start off wanting freedom from God and from His rules, but what does that bring? It brings slavery. Slavery to sin. We become slaves to those things, as Will talked about. I can be free to eat what I want, but where will that lead me? Right? I can become a slave to that. I can become a slave to my poor health, and it can prevent me from going and doing things because of that. I can become limited because of that. My dad had a lot of toys, an RV, a motorhome, a utility Rhino ATV type thing, a Hummer, a Lexus. And you know what it became to him? Chains. I remember going to Illinois and visiting him, and we went to his church, and there was this missionary there. And my dad said, man, I used to feel called to that. I wanted to be a missionary. And then he actually told me something. He goes, you know what? I'd still love to do that, but I can't because I just have all these chains. I have all these things that are chaining me down. We want freedom from God's rules. Freedom to walk a different path, but it often puts us in a path that leads to slavery and destruction. Community, though, can bring correction. Community can bring us back to the path that God is calling us to. Show me a kid that doesn't have discipline, right? And you'll see a kid on a path towards destruction. Your kids are going to get off that path that they should be on. That's just natural. They're going to behave wrong. And what do? You use correction. You use discipline. You tan their butt. You give them a timeout. You take away the internet. And that encourages them to get back on the right path. They need to experience those consequences. They need to experience that correction. Let them cry, right? I remember being mortified when my kids would throw a fit or something like that. Because you're like, oh man, what are people going to think? But every parent knows that's normal. That's just going to happen. So let them learn, right? I read this proverb not too long ago, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm praying it hit somebody today. Proverbs 27:6 says this: wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Do you get that? In this phase of my life, I'm just learning how important this is. I want to have friends in my life that will wound me, that will tell me something that I don't want to hear, at the risk of hurting our relationship, because they care that much about me. I won't stand up here and pretend that those things are easy to hear. I won't pretend I enjoy those things, but they're necessary if we want to grow or if we want to be corrected. This is something that we all need. It's easier not to say something to your friends, right? Because you know if you do say something, you might jeopardize that friendship. It's easy not to wound them, but what good will that do for them? I've been trying to say hard things. I like pleasing people, so I don't like to do that. But I've been trying to say hard things, hoping that they just understand it comes from a person who cares about them. I'm not saying it's okay to be a jerk. right? You can take that way too far. But we must be willing to wound each other in this church and be wounded by each other. Our skin must get thicker. It's extremely hard. Like I said, you might lose people over this. Not everybody will accept it, but I'd rather wound somebody and tell them they're headed towards destruction than see them hit that without a warning. Many of our country's problems are because people don't want to wound people. That's what we see playing out in our news, in our culture today. People go along with lies, don't they? And they think they're helping people. Listen, you're not a woman. That's the truth. I love you too much to lie to you and tell you something that you want to hear. I told you the story about a woman who thought she was a dog or she was pretending to be a dog, right? People around her love her, but they don't love her enough to tell her the truth. You're not a dog. Quit acting like it, right? So she acts like a dog. We say in this church, we are a church of grace and truth. So that means that we will say the truth to people. And it will wound, and it will sting, and it will be hard to hear. We say it, though, with a lot of grace and no condemnation. We say it not pointing our finger at people, but with our arm around people. Hey, I'm just worried about this path that you're on, and you need to hear this, right? That's what a church of grace and truth is. That's what Jesus modeled. Hey, go and sin no more. He first told her, I don't condemn you though. That's who we need to be. Do you have people in your life that are allowed to ask you hard questions? Do you have somebody in your life that will ask you, can you back that up with scripture? Does that line up with the word of God? Do you challenge people with that? Can you be challenged with that? Proverbs 27:17, you know this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do people have permission to call you on things? Or had they better not? One key clarification too, know the difference between morals and values. Morals are right and wrong, sin and not sin. Values are things that I would or I wouldn't do personally. I'm going to hold people to morals. I'm going to hold people to that thing, hey, don't get drunk. Do you think getting plasters honors Christ? The Bible says getting drunk is a sin, so I'm going to hold people to that. Values are topics like, should I send my kid to public school? Some people would say and look at that and say, I don't want to send my kid to a public school because I'm afraid that they're going to get indoctrinated. Other people would say, I want to send my kids to public school because they should be exposed to that, and they can be a light in that setting. We need Christians in that. This is a value issue, so be careful on how you talk to that with people. Don't present that as a moral issue, a right and a wrong. There's different situations. We got to know the difference. I might even say, this is what I would do personally. I might be wrong, but this is what I think about that. One of the greatest signs of spiritual maturity is correctability. And I'm just wondering, are we willing to place ourselves in a community to be corrected? Or are we just going to walk the path of isolation? When's the last time somebody called you on something? When's the last time? When's the last time a friend called you on something? Do you have that in your life? We need that. We need to develop that here. All right, third benefit of community. Proverbs chapter 11, 14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Proverbs 15, 22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. On this path of community, we find that confession leads to mercy and healing, correction puts us back on track, and finally, wise counsel leads us to success. Correction is what happens when you leave the path. Wise counsel is what keeps you from leaving the path. That's what you find in community. There's a saying that says this: trust yourself the least with what you want the most. We're master justifiers and rationalizers. I can talk myself into purchasing something that I know I shouldn't easily by just justifying and rationalizing it. Our hearts are deceitful. That's what we've been talking about in the past. So we must have a group of people that we can go to that will tell us the truth, that will give us wise counsel. I have a group of guys that I can turn to. My wife and kids are among the voices that I value the most, right? They have wisdom. They have points of view that I don't have. So I'll ask them about things. Why wouldn't I ask them about that? What do you think about this? This is what I'm thinking about doing. What are your thoughts? Go back to that car purchase, right? The alternative is that if we really want that thing, we won't talk to people because we'll know what they'll tell us. We know they'll try and talk us out of it. Have you ever heard a kid say this? I didn't ask you because I knew you'd say no. That's us. That's why we walk in isolation, because we know somebody would tell us that's not the right path. The demographic in the church that struggles with this the most are the people with gray hair. Oftentimes, even the people who dye their gray hair. Sure. I'd include myself in this. We get set in our ways, right? We think we know best. We've been around for a while. We've seen it all. The wise invite counsel, and they prosper. Some people don't think they need it. Some people don't want it because they just want to be able to do what they want to do. But the wise invites counsel. Who are the people that you invite into your decisions? Who are they? Who are the people that you reach out to and ask questions to? If you do that, you'll be prone to find success and victory according to Proverbs. What path are you walking? I want to encourage you today. Here's my big challenge for you. It's a path of the small group. Be a part of some community that speaks the words of life into your life. I really enjoy our men's group. We talk about things. We share things. Sometimes we get heated with each other. We've had some meetings like that. That is a good thing. Iron sharpens iron. That does not happen without heat and friction, right? That should be a part of our conversations. We should be getting sweaty with each other. Metal can't be molded without that. We want to steer away from that, but that's a good thing. We should also encourage each other, right? We meet once a month. The last Saturday, I just want to invite you guys to that. There's a marriage group. There's a youth group. There's a group for older, mature people. Teens meet, right? And we're talking to some other people about starting other groups. If you have an idea for a group, would you really pray about it and think about starting that? Would you take this summer and think about a group? Maybe it's just a life group that you start. Maybe it's got something behind it, right? I'd love to see a group for addiction. I'd love to see a singles group, an exercise group, a parenting group, or just more small groups in general. We need to be part of a small group that meets regularly, that we can share and get counsel and be held accountable with. Look for some people around you and just grab them. Make it a golfing group, right? Get it going and then invite people to it. When you do, and if you already have a group, I want you to see this next slide. Would you take out your phones right now and take a picture of that? I want you to incorporate this in your small group, whatever group that is. You can have a Bible study, that's great, and you can learn about the Word of God. But if you don't take it any deeper, you're not really living in community. You're just learning stuff, right? First question, how are you feeding your soul? Ask your friends that. Ask that group of guys that you hang out with. Hey guys, what are you doing to feed your soul? Well, somebody might say, hey, I'm reading my Bible every day. Awesome, great job. Somebody else may say, I'm trying to read my Bible, but you know what, I don't always get to it. Well, what's getting in the way of that? What's happening? Well, you know, I'm doing it late at night, and sometimes I just forget or just get too busy. Well, maybe you should do it in the morning, right? That's the conversation that you want to have. How are you feeding your soul? That's accountability. Next thing, how are you feeding others? Because this isn't about us. We are building the kingdom of God. We should be a part of that, doing something to be a part of that. How are you doing that? Well, you know what? I'm not really. Well, what can we do? What could we do as a small group then to feed others? Not literally feed others, but share the truth with other people. Maybe you'll come up with something in your small group on how you can do that. And number three, this is one of the most important. How are you feeding your flesh? What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? What are you struggling with? This is the hard one. Because this is where it's going to take some vulnerability. You know what? I was on Facebook and I was scrolling through some stuff and I saw some stuff that I shouldn't have been looking at and I spent too much time there. And then that led to this and then that. How are you feeding your flesh? All right, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to get away from that? Right? Well, I'm on my phone and I'm scrolling so much, like before I know it, an hour has passed and I've just not really done anything. Okay, what are you going to do? Right? And then you just pray for each other. This has to be a part of where we're going in our future. Man, I loved being a part of the prayer group this morning. I love coming to prayer. I don't think I ever thought I would say that. Because I really dreaded prayer. But that group is an awesome group. And I'd love for more of you to come out to it. Somebody was sharing in that group about something that they're struggling with. And I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to do that. But somebody in the group said, you know what, we've been through that season that you're in right now. Right? And they said, you know what? We will be praying for you. And I know they meant that because they know what these people are going through. That's what you can have in a small group. You can't have that in here. People that will do life with you, people that will lock and step with you, right? Those of you who have been on sports teams, you know what this is about. People to push you, to spur you, to challenge you, to hold you accountable. We need that in the church today. With small groups. Would you pray about that and seek God's will about that? Maybe he'll put something on your heart to be a part of that. And then launch it. Go with it. Amen? Stand with me. Two paths. One is a pain in the butt, but it comes with growth. It comes with mercy. It comes with freedom. But the other one's a lot easier. Take the harder path. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would bind us together. Give us unity, Lord. Lord, I pray that your grace and mercy would overflow any things that we do to each other, any areas that we step on each other's toes, Lord. Father, I pray that you would give us people in this church and beyond that we can just go to, that will hold us accountable, that will tell us the things that may wound us instead of being people that flatter. Give us those opportunities. Give us that boldness, Lord. And help us to respond in the right way. Lord, would you call people to start small groups, a small group, and whatever that means. And would you use it to draw them further than they've ever been together in community, Lord. Father, we just ask for your hand in all of this. Let us glorify you in everything.